ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I believe our fundamental role is to generate political and social crisis within the American ruling class. Mass mobilizations is the primary tactic. Street shutdowns, bridge and train shutdowns, airport caravans and shutdowns, encampments, building takeovers, targeting of weapons manufacturers, shutting down events.
We will be here in the streets, on our campuses, in our classrooms, in our workplaces every day.
We have made the situation untenable for the empire's ruling classes and the political establishment.
They have created a disruptive movement made up of students and faculty, turning young minds into anti-American extremists.
Our movement has helped transform students into revolutionaries!
Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other factions that fight American hegemony in the region. People who are 18 and 19 years old on campuses truly understand these ideas now.
Protesters target cultural and historical landmarks, seeking to destabilize the foundations of American society. They are openly hostile to law enforcement and engage in violent opposition toward the police. The influence of these organizations isn't limited to universities and public spaces. They've even reached the halls of Congress.
Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib.
We're going to move Congress, and we're going to move the White House. We're not going anywhere. Free, free Palestine!
Vote her out.
The influence of these violent groups is growing, and they are working towards their goal of dismantling America.
Our struggle is a long struggle, and one that stands on the shoulders of thousands of martyrs and thousands of fighters who have committed and who are committing their lives to lay the ground for the revolution we see ahead of us today.
Alyssa tells us to escalate for it. That can mean so many different things, but what I will tell you is we need to start sacrificing.
The threat of violence is not theoretical. In this war of resistance, all Americans are potential targets. These organizations are determined to achieve their revolution, whatever the cost, by any means necessary.
Resistance, by any means necessary.
If the enemy refuses, that you die, it must be killed.
There is only one solution!
The Palestinian diaspora in North America has committed its martyrs for this cause.
Students have brought the war home.
It is either victory or death.
Either victory or death.
They're losing their ability to control us. And this means that now the gloves are off. And quite frankly, anything is possible.
I hope that was disturbing to you, because that was in Detroit, Michigan, like I said. Our previous administration did nothing about this. I'll tell you what, something like that goes on, they should be arrested, right? But we allow them to gain momentum. Praise God for President or for Netanyahu, who is destroying Hamas, Hezbollah, right? Thank God for that. Maybe it's quieted them down for a bit, but believe me, they're not going to stop. We have to be aware of that. They're training up our kids at these colleges to do these things. You see the professor who was on there. What do you think she's teaching her class? And I think it's interesting that, you know, and I used this before, but this is one of the goals for the World Economic Forum, that by 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And people go, well, you know, at least the government's providing stuff for us. Yeah, well, did you think about that for a minute? What if you are a Bible-believing Christian? What if you are not pro-homosexual, transgenderism, and all those other things? And the government says, well, there's no health care for you. Well, there's no home anymore for you. Well, your job, you lost that. You see how dangerous that is. But that's what they're pushing for. And, you know, as I get ready to kind of close out this section, I have a little bit more to go. So don't, when I say close out your section, it's kind of like what the, in the Bible when Paul says that he's finishing up, or Peter, and they still have like three chapters to go. But these are quotes about world government. From Breck Chisholm, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. They are trying to conform our minds into the world's image when God wants to transform us. They understand that. They got to take these things away for there to be a global government. Also, in this system of nationalist individualism that has to go, it is the system of nationalist individualism that has to go. We are living in the end of the sovereign states, in the great struggle to evoke a westernized world socialism. Contemporary governments may vanish. Countless people will hate the new world order and will die protesting against it. H.G. Wells said that. Crazy, huh? Henry Ford, the aim of these financiers is world control by the creation of inextinguishable debts. Oh, yeah. How many trillions of dollars are we in debt as a nation? And look at people today, what they're in debt to. And growing, absolutely. Within the next 100 years, nationhood as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. No, it's a wonderful idea. Look at our Constitution and how long. What, 250 plus years, right? And the last one I'll give you. National socialism will use its own revolution for establishing of a new world order. You know who said that? Did I change it? No. Adolf Hitler. Wow. Yeah, these guys are kind of in the same boat, right? What are especially the Democratic Party, but not alone, the Republican Party is still doing this too, pushing for socialism. And we're moving towards a global government as we do. Now, real quick here, I don't know if we can do this quick, but we'll try. The Middle East. And again, with the rebirth of the nation of Israel, I believe God's prophetic time clock began to tick, and now we see this war breaking out in the Middle East. And people look at this war in the Middle East, and they go to Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, the war of Gog and Magog. And yeah, it's very interesting when you look at these players, but I don't think the timing is right. Yeah, again, a lot of these nations mentioned in Ezekiel are coming together and fighting against Israel. But let me read to you the passages in Ezekiel 38, and then I'll dig into it a little bit more. In Ezekiel 38:8, after many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. So notice they're dwelling safely. When Israel became a nation, and ever since they became a nation in 1948, they've been at war. They have been fighting. Nations have come against them to destroy them. Ezekiel 38:10-11. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Again, Israel has not seen peace in the land since the birth of their nation. And lastly, Ezekiel 38, verses 14 and 7 through 17. Therefore, son of man, and say to Gog, Thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. My point is this. This battle is going to take place after Israel is dwelling safely, and this has not happened yet. I know a lot of people thought that this war with Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Syria, Iran involved, the Houthis, and as well as other nations, how you can read of them in Ezekiel's 38 and 39. But again, I don't think the timing is right. And I'm not going to be dogmatic on it, but I just read those passages when they're at peace. It hasn't happened. What's interesting, and I'll just throw this out at you, when President Trump, when he comes into office, he said that Hamas has to release the Israeli hostages or there will be hell to pay for them. And I think they understand that. And I think they understand things are going to change when he comes into office. Is President Trump going to put pressure not only on Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran to stop these attacks on Israel? Could be. You know, peace, a time of peace before this coming invasion. And I think that's what's going to happen. I also believe that the next war or the next biblical war, one mentioned in the Bible, is what we read in Isaiah 17:1, where it talks about the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city and it will be a ruinous heap. Damascus, the capital of Syria, is a large city, about 2 million people. It's the oldest capital and longest inhabited city in the world. This, what the Lord said in Isaiah 17:1, hasn't happened yet. They're still a nation. Amir Sarfati put it like this. He said, Isaiah 17 is the thing that will ignite the whole region to bring about the Ezekiel 38 war. Isaiah 17 speaks of the utter destruction of Damascus to the point that it can no longer be inhabitable. And as you know, Damascus has never been destroyed to that point. And so it's a future event, and it will happen. I think when this happens, the Muslim world will go crazy. And Russia will also come down against Israel. Now, it's interesting why are all these people so angry at Israel? Why do they want to see them destroyed? Understand, it's really not a religious thing. It's a demonic thing. That's the bottom line. Just go throughout the Bible. You see, every time they wanted to wipe out the Jews, it's a demonic event. In fact, it's interesting because in Psalm 83, verses 4 and 5, we see the heart of these people. They have said, come and let us cut them off, the Jews, from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more, for they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The goals of these nations is to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. And it hasn't changed. Israel owns 0.1% of the land in the Middle East. The Arabs own all the rest. Do you really think this 0.1% is that important? No. They want to wipe the Jews out. But it's interesting, the United Nations on September 18th, 2024, said this. The resolution also calls on members states not to sell arms or military equipment to Israel that would be used in Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. Final count of the UN decision to demand Israel end unlawful presence in Palestinian territories within 12 months. The United Nations General Assembly on Wednesday voted 124-14 to strip Israel of the right to self-defense against Palestinian terrorism in the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem. Do they even listen to what they're voting? I don't get it. Not only that, but the International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Wow. This is a Netherlands-based court. It said that it found reasonable grounds to believe that Netanyahu bears criminal responsibility for war crimes, including starvation as a method of warfare and the crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts. I find it interesting. Before they bombed an area, they would drop leaflets telling the people to get out because they're going to bomb this area. All the humanitarian aid, have you seen the videos where Hamas is selling this free food to their own people who are starving to death? Why doesn't the United Nations come against them? Very interesting. Netanyahu's not going to yield to pressure. He's not going to back down. He's not going to retreat. He's going to finish the job he needs to do. Why is Netanyahu acting, why is he acting like he is? Why is he trying to wipe these people out? Well, they talked about it. October 7th, 2023, Hamas launched the largest ever terrorist attack on Israeli soil. They stormed through security fences separating Gaza and Israel, killing 1,189 people, 815 civilians, wounding 7,500 and taking 251 hostages. That's why he's responding like he is. Could you imagine if that happened in our country? Yeah, we would do something about it. It's interesting because in Zechariah, we see the world coming against Israel. It says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it." Again, ever since May 14th, 1948, they've been a cup of trembling to their enemies. They want to destroy them. You know, as this nation was born, Syria attacked from the north, Jordan from the east, and Egypt from the south. And yet, this tiny nation won the war. But that's not what Zechariah is talking about. There's another problem for the Jewish people. It's the city of Jerusalem. The Muslims claim Jerusalem as their third holiest city, but there's a problem. Jerusalem isn't mentioned once in the Quran. Dave Hunt said, "During the centuries when Jerusalem was under complete Arab control, no Arab ruler or Islamic leader ever made it the object of a religious pilgrimage. Again, a strange indifference toward a city which is now considered to be the third holiest site in Islam after Mecca and Medina." But again, Zechariah is not talking about that. In 1967, again, Syria, Jordan, Egypt attacked Israel, and God protected them once again. Israel took the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt. They took the West Bank from Jordan, and the city of Jerusalem was now all theirs. It was no longer a divided city, and it was accomplished in 6 days, thus the Six-Day War. Amazing. That's when Moshe Dayan gave the Temple Mount to the Jordanians, who then handed it over to the people that are so-called Palestinian today. And then in 1973, there was the Yom Kippur War. This was, you know, the Jews were celebrating Yom Kippur. Many of the soldiers were with their families and stuff. They weren't prepared for this, really. And again, Egypt, Syria attacked, and God gave them a great victory. They marched into Egypt, taking the whole third Egyptian army. Up north, they took the Golan Heights back again within 17 miles of Damascus. If their enemies didn't call for an end of the war, they would have been prepared to go all the way into Cairo in the south and bomb Damascus in the north. And it wasn't the right timing yet. But that, again, isn't what Zechariah is talking about. And what we see today is a buildup, and in the end, the entire world is going to come against Israel. Zechariah is talking about the Battle of Armageddon. The world comes against Israel. But this war here in Ezekiel 38 and 39, I think, is future. God is going to destroy 5/6 of this army that comes against Israel. But again, that is not a complete fulfillment when that happens. I think we may see this war. I don't believe the tribulation period will start yet, because we're told that Israel is going to burn the implements of this war for 7 years. Well, we know 3.5 years, the majority of Jews are in Jerusalem until the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt temple and demands to be worshipped as God, and then they flee. So they're not going to be burning those implements for 7 years. So I think it's going to start before that. But here it is. This tiny nation the size of New Jersey is the forefront of talks within the United Nations, and they come against Israel more than any other nation. Consider how remarkable, Dave Hunt said, is this one prophecy. Who could have imagined when the Old Testament was written that all the nations of the world would be involved in deciding the fate of Israel? And this involvement of all nations is dividing Israel. In dividing Israel has occurred exactly as prophesied and is still in the process of being implemented. Yeah. I mean, think about it. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Yeah, they're not going to win. Now, again, I'm going to wrap things up here a little bit, so we're going to move a little quicker. Yeah, well, just the first study. But again, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24 talked about it on the Mount of Olives, talking to disciples about these last days. And he said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of birth pains. So it's talking about a woman going into labor. And, you know, I remember when our first son was born and Julie went into labor, and it was getting pretty intense in there for me. but Julie goes, I want to stop it now and just go home. Yeah, once that labor starts, you're not going to stop it. The baby's going to come. And that's the same with the tribulation period. But what I think we see happening in this world today, because we see a lot of these things going on, is pre-labor pains or the Braxton Hicks contractions, preparing for the labor to begin. And so we see these rumors of wars and pestilence, earthquakes. I mean, look at all the earthquakes that are out there. Now, they're not reported very often, but they're happening all the time. We see the eruptions of volcanoes. So lots of things going on. And again, we are not here for the tribulation period, but we're here for these pre-labor pains. And it's what's interesting, I'm going too fast now. Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And, you know, people think, well, yeah, there's always been those people that have claimed to be the Messiah, to be Christ. But it says many, and that word many in the Greek is polos, and it means a very great number, like millions and millions of people, not just a select few. I find that fascinating because look at the New Age. Remember Shirley MacLaine? I know I'm dating myself, but her book Out on a Limb, right? I am, you're not, right? But anyway, New Agers, think about this. Not only New Agers, health, wealth, and prosperity. You're a god, a little god. Like a dog has a puppy. God, you know, had us, and so we're gods. No, we're not. And many are falling prey to this idea. And when you reject God, you become God yourself because now you're making the decisions. So I see this happen. And famines, pestilence, earthquakes, all kinds of things. It says in Isaiah, it says, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaking exceedingly. That's an earthquake, right? The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. How many of you played with tops when you were kids? You know, you get them spinning, and what happens is they start slowing down. They start to wobble, right? Well, a major earthquake can cause the earth to wobble. We've seen some effects of that already with earthquakes. And again, San Andreas fault line, it's huge. And things are starting to shake up. You know, back in the earthquake that ravaged Japan, there was a 9.0 magnitude. And it shortened the Earth's day by just over 1/1,000,000th of a second, which, you know, my watch isn't that exact. But I guess NASA's is. It shifted the Earth's axis by 6.5 inches. Wow. You know, that's pretty huge for an earthquake, right? And the earth is going to wobble. That's what it says. And so here's the thing, guys. Don't be deceived. How are we not deceived? Because we know the truth, the Word of God. And we have to stand up for the truth today. And I'll close with this, and I promise that I will close with this. We have to be ready for the Lord because He's coming for His bride, the church. Could it be tonight? Could be. Could be down the road. We don't know. Could be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But we should always be ready. The early church was. We shouldn't be any different. You know, like Paul said, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, we need to be looking up and asking God, direct us, use me to the fullest. Help me to number our day, my days. Let's pray.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.